Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, this Sambo Super Bowl one is off the chain. The city of Benton Harbor have taken the lead, and right now we're in control of our very own destiny. I have warned people and warned people and warned people. Nobody is going to beat my Sambos, you know. And here's the first week tally for the Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl of Sambos. And when I say Super Bowl of Sambo, I mean exactly that. Ain't nobody, I'm telling you this, ain't nobody going to beat my Sambos. Mm-mm. My leather seats. Mm-mm. The queen bee of all Sambos in this whole country. My leather seats. The queen bee. And I mean that bee loosely, if you know what I mean. Ain't nobody, long as she's heading the pack, nobody is going to beat my Sambos. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. You are not going to beat my Sambos. My letter C, number one. That's in the whole. She's even over Clarence Thomas. And that's saying something. What's that guy? Tim Scott. She's over there. So get your vote in. We are going to spank Houston, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati, Ohio. We're going to tear them up. We had a great week. And don't forget, the mayor of Sambos, Marcus Mahoney. See, that's important. He's what you call the mayor of all Sambos in the whole country. Even ahead of Clarence Thomas, Tim Scott, those Sambos, he's ahead of them. And don't forget to get out and vote. Make sure your vote counts. We can't have it no other way. We have to show these Sambos that we're willing to go beyond the call of duty. They're everywhere. Then I can't forget the scumbag of all Sambos, Dwayne C. Scumbag, straight up scumbag. Been a scumbag all his life. He haven't just gotten to be a scumbag. He's been a scumbag all, you see. And that combination I have, my leather seats, the queen bee, the mayor of Sambos, Marcus Muhammad, and the scumbag of all Sambos, the scumbag of all Sambos, Dwayne Seats. Nobody is going to be. You couldn't put a team together. Just by reading a bio, you would know that you couldn't put a team together better than this. And I'm excited. I'm excited behind this because it takes everything to a whole different level. I was at the church this morning, and this young lady came up to me, and she knows quite a bit about this family, and she told me that she heard the show, she listened to the show, and that she heard me talking about Abasiah Muhammad. And I told her, yes, I was. I said, I like Abasiah. I like a lot. I always did. But she became a woman, a real woman, when she went to City Hall and told people that this guy was a slime ball. When she said that, as her husband, took a lot of courage to do that. A woman at that time. And we believed her. You see, we believed her that what she was saying was the thing to do. And I believed her. I believed what she was saying was true at that time. I sure did. I believe that what she was trying to do, get that frustration out of her system. And by saying what she said, and I believed her. I believed her. You know, because I'm to tell you for myself, I've never seen him with his children. I haven't. And that's unfortunate, you know. But that was a big move. That was a power play. Then she came back just recently, and they said lie was written all over her face. She made the announcement that he was a good husband now, which is, we know that's not true because he even had a baby by a young teenager on her. I'm appealing to her to go to the minister on him. I'm saying go to the minister on him. You see, go to the minister, Louis Farrakhan, on him. You see, I went to the minister on him a couple of times. It worked out for a little while, you see. But you're not going to overpower Whirlpool Corporation and their money belt. You see, they have a money belt that they use, and it got him under control. You know, they Whirlpool helped them get that beauty shop down there. They helped them get that, which is important, you know. So that's the hand that's feeding them, Whirlpool Corporation. So you expect them to do whatever Whirlpool tells them to do, even if it's stealing money from the city of Benton Harbor, even if it's stealing money from the residents of Benton Harbor to feed his family or keep his family fed, that's what he's doing. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. But look, the Sambo of the year is some big time stuff. Is this thing have gotten legs now? We on 10 different radio shows across this country, and my goal is to have 50 to 100 radio shows talking about the Sambo of the Year award. And let me give you the definition of a Sambo real fast. A Sambo is a person who has been robbed of themselves. A bootlicker is someone that Whirlpool will trot out to try to destroy black people. And that's why you have my letter seats, Marcus Muhammad, Dwayne seats. They're all working in cahoots to destroy black folks. That's their goal. This is Black History Month. So we have to make sure we're doing what we need to do. The Sambo, the definition of a Sambo, is a person who's been robbed of themselves, who white people trot out. And these Sambos become bootlickers, butt kissers. You know, and that's sellouts. But even more important than that is what we do. We got to stay focused. Now, have you ever heard the saying ghetto tax? Ghetto tax is what is the use of being born That's important. Ghetto tax is when you're born and you have to pay extra costs just to survive. Everyday needs, necessities, washing powder, food, anything, grocery, anything. They put what they call ghetto tax on you. And that ghetto tax is when you buy, let me get the Arabs here. They tax black folks. They go to Walmart and buy food and put it on their shelf and sell it. People have a history of going in there and doing that. Black people go into these Arab stores. I would never go in the Arab and buy food. I won't. And if you have an automobile, you should not be going there. If you don't have an automobile, I can't fault you. But if you got an automobile, you got no reason in this world to go into an Arab store. What an Arab do, he cheat your children, he cheat you, selling this, he tax you, call it ghetto tax. And every black community, they don't let these Arabs in white communities. They only allowed in black communities. You see, white folks would not allow these Arabs in their community. But black people are willing to allow these people into our community. My fight is that we must stop spending money with them, even gas money. Stop going to these Arab gas stations. Stop dealing with them. Put them out of business. I know that's tough for some of you black folks, because I know how, you know, just like, you know, y'all consider them Arabs, these white, I guess. You know, y'all scared of them too. I saw where an Arab was beating this black dude. About five or six Arabs got together, were beating one black dude, and all the black people just stood around and did nothing. You had an opportunity to chase them Arabs completely out of our community. Completely out of our community. I will not spend a dime with them throwing Arabs. And you can't make me. Man, oh man. What's next? What is next? These people, what they, then they sell you bad meat. And you got the nerve to buy it and you're dying like flies out here. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. But it's reality. It's reality. Well, look, I'm going to bring in my first guest, Annette. I think it's important to give her some extra time because she definitely needs to talk about what is going on. And also, the boycott on Mondays, we know what we do. No fast foods. So let's talk about that. But let me give you the lineup, and don't forget to go vote. You vote by sending an email to banco9342@sbcglobal.net. So here's the figures. The Benton Harbor Sambos, 6,822. We lead the pack. Then come Houston and my good boy Don, 6,455. Followed by St. Louis, Missouri, 6,397. Then Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Tyree, 6,288. Columbus, Ohio, Dr. Harris, 6,175. Cincinnati, Ohio, Tommy Gunn, 6,144. So that's where we at until Sunday. We'll get the report in on Saturday, and then we can determine what's what or who's who or what we need to do. The sample of the year Super Bowl is getting to be too big. This same program will be broadcast in Houston, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Columbus, Cincinnati, Ohio, Oklahoma City, and I guess just Durham, North Carolina. So what we saying today is spreading all over the country. And we want to make sure that people understand how important it is. We have to stop these Sambos at all costs. These Sambos are ruining our children. We were in a position with a high school and a Fairplane Boiler went out, and they voted no not to replace Trenton Bourne, the Shannon Robinson, Renato Triplett. These are Sambos. They're Sambos. And they don't care about our children. They won't fight for our children. They won't stand up for our children. And the parents didn't say a mumbling word. Not one single parent stood up and said, fix that boiler. Not one. Not one single parent stood up and said, fix that boiler. Nobody said that. Nobody said, fix that boiler and so my children can have heat. And then you walk around here saying you love your children. How you love your children, you allow your children to be wearing gloves and wearing overcoats and boots to school, and you go around here talking about you love your children. How can you love your children if you allow them to freeze in the classroom? How? Talk to me. How? Thought it was all right. They around here bragging about it. They know that these are not the smartest people in the whole wide world living in Benton Harbor. You see, wisdom, knowledge, understanding has been chasing the residents of Benton Harbor, but they have not been allowed to catch them. Benton Harbor residents run too fast for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In other words, they just haven't been able to catch them. And they never will. They never will. They just don't get it, you know. And my thing is these ARABs and the school system, something is going to have to give. Something is going to have to give about this. Anytime you allow your child to sit up in a classroom with his coat, gloves, boots, hat, earmuffs on, and you don't have a problem with that, then you the problem. You the problem, the mama, the daddy. You are the problem. And I'm saying it with as much tenderness as I can. Because we are going to have to correct that one way or the other. I know that you're not going to vote these people out because they're locked into the system now. You know, they locked in. You know, Tiffany Moore, these other people, Tyler over at the county, they're all working together against black folks. You see, they're all working together against black folks. And they're going to continue to work against black folks. I was watching this movie. I'm going to say this real quick, then I'm bringing my girl. I was watching this movie, The Color of Courage, and it brought tears to my eyes. It actually brought tears to my eyes. This black family had moved into this white community, and this white community went to court to try to get them evicted from their own house that they paid for. Tried to get them evicted. And to me, it was like a love story, you know. It was so tender how this white couple and black couple operate. The husband working with the enemy tried to get him out. But I'm got to bring in my guest. So let me do this. I'll talk about that on Sunday. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Annette.
All right,
Annette, let's blow the whistle. It's time to blow the whistle. And I'm talking to all the whistleblowers.
What's going on, Reverend Pinckney. It's going down today. Today is the last day. Everybody get your paper and your pen today, today, today. As a matter of fact, I go to the bank today. The whistleblowers getting paid today. The one that's getting ready to start rolling down, you got the last chance to call Judge Doo, and wait just a moment. I'm going to give you that phone number. Everybody go ahead and get your paper and pen. Go ahead and be getting your paper and pen so you can write it down. For every person who's going to ask you for some money, you can call in for them. You can make as many calls as you want. Anybody can be a whistleblower. Anybody can blow the whistle. And the money that's going to be coming down is going to be shared among the whistleblowers who are blowing the whistle, who have broke this outstanding. And when I tell you, this is a global. And it goes all the way back to when our ancestors were robbed of their wealth. And we have been robbed of our inheritance. So we have already filed every necessary thing to be in place for the people to start getting paid with the whistleblowers. So today is going to be the very last day at midnight that you can be able to blow the whistle. So while I'm also getting that, and I want people to go ahead and be getting their information, we have to remember we have McDonald Mondays. And it's very important for us to understand what we're doing. When you understand what you're doing, you're more likely to do it. We're organizing. We're not boycotting. We're organizing. And just like you were saying, okay, I tell you what, even if you go to the Indian folks, don't go on a Friday because that's a foreign Friday. Don't go to no foreigners on a Friday. And if we see it's something that we do not have, then those are the things that we're going to start creating because we got the money to do it. Again, now, this is very, very important that we understand that we are organizing, organizing. And when you are organizing on McDonald Monday, everybody get together in your city, go down to the fast food places and have big signs and said, not on Monday. Stand in the driveway. Mm-hmm. Stand in the, let everybody know. And this is how we are going to be getting the word out. And then tell them to go down the street because, trust me, in every black community, you got that row of all of that fast food stuff going on in your community. Get out, go down, all your church groups, your organizations, your Greeks and your sororities and your having your youth groups to go and let people know on McDonald Monday, don't go to no fast food. Ticket, taco, tobacco Tuesday. No lottery tickets, no gambling, and no tobacco products on Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, no tobacco, no lottery tickets, and no gambling. I'm telling you, you have no idea how much people spend in gambling, and I think it's a bigger addiction than crack. So if you just have that one day, just that one day where you say, listen, I will buy scratches on Monday. I will buy scratches on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I'm not going to buy. I'm not going to buy them on a ticket Tuesday. Because I tell you what, these stores, when they start seeing that we're not coming in there, and they start seeing, because you see, when people tell you to go vote, the way you vote is with your money. And when they start seeing that you are organizing, no matter what city you're in, no matter what community, no matter what family, no matter what church, if we just not doing the same things on the same day, that is how we are making impacts, and that's how we are really moving forward. Walmart Wednesday. This is a huge day. Walmart. Again, now, you could go to these stores. You can patronize these businesses. But the main important thing, if everybody's sticking together on these particular days, the impacts that we're going to make. So on Walmart Wednesday, don't go to no Mart stores, no Jiffy Mart, no Quick Mart, no AMPM, no convenience stores, no 7-Eleven, no convenience stores and no Mart stores and no Walmart on Walmart Wednesday. We got Thirsty Thursday. Oh, Thirsty Thursday. Here we come, Thirsty Thursday, Thirsty Thursday. No gasoline and no alcohol. Now, I promise you, if just the black community stick together on Thirsty Thursday and just don't buy no gasoline and don't buy no alcohol on a Thirsty Thursday, we'll bring down a global economy. And then Born Friday, we're dealing with the diaspora. We're not just dealing with a certain city or a certain country. We're dealing with the diaspora. So no matter where you are in the world, if you are a melanated person, we're telling everybody, only shop with the people who are melanated and coming from our culture. Our culture. I said our culture. So McDonald Mondays, no fast food. Ticket Tuesday, no gambling, no tobacco. Walmart Wednesday, no Walmart, no convenience stores. Thirsty Thursday, no gasoline, no alcohol. Foreign Friday, no foreigners on Friday. And, of course, we need to get back to exactly what God said. He said keep the Sabbath holy. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. So we are actually stepping off into our inheritance and receiving what has been stolen and hidden from us. We are having the whistleblowers to keep on blowing this whistle. When I tell you we bring it, when I tell you, everybody from Hunter Biden to the Trump Organization to Jeffrey Epstein, this has been just explosive with the Pandora Papers. Please, every single body, write down the Pandora Papers on YouTube. Pandora Papers on YouTube. And Congress actually had a hearing December 8th, 2021, 2 years ago, too long years ago, about the United States having the most safe havens where they're stealing money and hiding money in the United States. They're number two to the Cayman Islands. I really think they're number one. But at the same time, you know, again, it doesn't matter if you're number one or two. It's my money, and I want it now. Okay, so we want everybody now. Again, like you had a dynamic, explosive show on yesterday, bringing in the doctor. We have got, and I can never stress this enough, because of my own personal experience and the horror stories as I go from city to city, hearing how our women, especially our women, how we're being butchered up, how we're being abused. I gave a tribute to the Congress lady of Dallas, Texas, Congresswoman Johnson, who worked with Impacts. Again, this is the Metroplex. Dallas is the Metroplex. And I want you to know she had surgery, and there was actually the incision had been infected from feces in the rehabilitation. People were so unethical, so egregious. And you're dealing with a congresswoman who has given a life of service for over five decades. And again, I can never express enough how my condolences go to the family. But the disrespect, the domestic terrorism. And this is what this case in Las Vegas, the case is U.S. District Court. Please, everybody write this down, because you want to associate your whistleblower with this case. It's already been warned. The paperwork is here. I go to the bank today. So you want to put this, when you get ready to do your paperwork, put your whistleblower with this case. It's U.S. District Court, Nevada, Las Vegas, and that case number is 2:15, C as in Charlie, B as in Victor, 01839. That's case now, again, 2:15, 15, D as in Charlie, D as in Victor, 01839. That's the whistleblower case that you want to attach to get your funds when it start rolling out. Okay, then I can never stress enough. Reverend Pinckney, I heard the doctor on yesterday. I don't know if you're familiar with Grandmaster Jay Johnson with the NFAC.
No.
Okay. Please listen at his story. Look at his story. He was an armed militia group that went to different places. He went to the Ahmaud Arbery. He went down to Stone Mountain, Georgia, Lafayette, Louisiana, and Breonna Taylor. And having justice, he took the Deacons for Defense to a whole nother level. They have him wrongfully incarcerated, and he had open surgery. How can you be in the custody of your defendants and they over there performing any kind of medical, especially heart? Come on now. So, again, we're telling everybody, please blow the whistles. Get you some whistles. Get you some whistles. I can never stress enough, down here in Texas, every 3 or 4 minutes, we got abductions going off. Get your children whistles. Let your children understand the importance. This is not just for play. This is serious. If you are attacked or you see gang activity or you being bullied or even medical alert, get a whistle and upload your videos to Blow the Whistle and, of course, Reverend Pinckney Blog Talk. And we want to see you with your shirts and your T-shirts and your whistles and your groups blowing the whistle. Because all of these cases now, we have multiple cases. And this is the last one I want to bring up. The one I want to bring up, and I send you my sample. I got some samples, and I'm telling you, them samples over there at the radio station in Las Vegas, 88.1, and I'm calling the radio station out, the samples over there that want to silence the community, and especially the people who are living in the Southern Nevada Regional Housing Authority. These people are so corrupt, and they are so, again, you're dealing with people who are low income. You're dealing with people who are disabled veterans. So you're dealing with the most vulnerable part of your community. They have black mold that has been actually deemed and condemned black mold buildings. And got people living up in there. They got the money, put it in their pocket, and the people are dying. So we've got to
Send me an email about that.
I shall. I will.
And if you have a phone number, I'll call them for you. I'll call them.
Okay, then blow the whistle.
I'll call them.
That's what we're here about. We blowing the whistle.
Because
I appreciate it.
We're not having that. I'm so sick of these sambos running around here. Believe me, I will give them a call and have a conversation with them about that. You know, just send me that information.
I shall. And my Sambo nominee is Stephen Harshford, who is Mr. Sambo Super Bowl King. He is the one who is the chair for the Black Caucus. So you are over all the other Sambos that are selling us out. And you don't even have an agenda for us, but at the same time, they want to have these titles, they want to take pictures, and they want to put money in their pocket from the Pandora Papers. He was actually on that same panel, Reverend Pinckney. And when I went to go see him at that condemned building where I filed a multi-million dollar lawsuit and $1 million per day, for non-compliance, because you're dealing with 72,000 households.
Absolutely.
So
hey,
I
got to let you go.
Yes. Thank you so much, and I will send you
the
email.
All right, let's talk soon.
And I voted for the Benton Harbor Sambos, okay?
All right, I got you, girl. Okay. It's going down.
Okay,
all right,
oh,
now.
It's going down. Okay,
hey, listen, we'll talk soon. Don't forget to send me an email about Las Vegas. All right, that's my girl Annette. And let me bring in the one and only There's only one. It can't be two Dr. Tans. It can only be one. This is a doctor that know how to do all. He's the doctor who leads the charge. He's a doctor who know how to do and get people well. Dr. Donald Tans, talk to me.
Thank you, the Honorable Reverend Pinckney. Hopefully you can hear me clearly, but just listening to what was said by the young lady, that, you know, we do need the deacons of the fence, and I think in any community that gang members should be met with in terms of their leaders and talking with them and making them realize it's us against them. Anytime our babies are going missing, our gangs are our warrior class of young people. They are warriors without a lead. They are warriors without a champion. They are warriors without a captain. So we have to provide them the leadership and clearly identify the enemy. And what we try to do is we pretend and shuffle our feet around identifying who is evil and who is wrong and allow them to dictate the narrative. I got to go back to 1705 because everybody wants to talk about the Diversity Act, but if you look up 1705 and put in Diversity Act, you'll find out we've been there, done that already. Because 1705, Diversity Act, was part of the slave codes, which required back then, and I think the number's down, it required that five whites have to be in attendance of any black or slave function, that they have to monitor and supervise. That's the foundation of Meritorious Manumission and your SAMBO award, that there has to always be a white person to supervise black people and to monitor black people. Moving forward, staying in that time frame, we look at the United States Constitution, and the Constitution of the United States codified only three people, black, American Indians, and women. Now, the Constitution had blacks, American Indians, and women. So you got the chick from India who's a governor in California or something like that, who's running for president from India, Indian
yeah,
chick.
South Carolina. Uh-huh.
South Carolina. Yeah, South
mm-hmm.
Carolina, that Nikapura, whatever, from Nikapura, from Pamajad, India. You have her, but I don't see no Indian from India listed in the Constitution. I don't see no Kamala Harris listed in the Constitution. I don't see any Pakistan listed in the Constitution. I don't see any Baghdad listed in the Constitution. I don't see any Iraq listed in the Constitution. I don't see even no Israel or Palestine listed in the Constitution. I don't see any Chinese or Japanese at that point of time listed in the Constitution. It said blacks, American Indians, and white women. And the reason that was so important about that those were supposed to be protective classes, but the United States never enforced the black, the African American, the descendant of enslaved Africans to be part of the protected class. They made the doctrine of trust, where they went out to protect the Indians, but the Indians were also at one time slave hunters and slave owners, slave hunters and slave owners. And the Indians also were charged by the United States, where they owed reparations to the Indians that were mixed with African, or we would say black Indians, or then the government would say freedmen. Those individuals owed restitution by the five civilized tribes, and to be civilized meant that you respected white, you respected their white gods, and you respected their white ways and values, and that the white people's enemy were your enemies, that the white people's problem were your problem. And therefore, the five civilized tribes agreed to help with being slave hunters and slave owners, and they were slave traders. And after the end of the Civil War, when whites were fighting whites, that's what the Civil War was about, that the business white man in the North had an argument with his cousin in the South, who was a production man. The South produced the raw material, and the North had the factories. It didn't have a damn thing to do about slavery. The Civil War didn't have a damn thing to do about slavery. Just like Martin Luther King wasn't killed because he had a dream, Martin Luther was killed because he had a plan. Remember, the I Have a Dream speech was 1963. The I Have a Dream speech was 1963. The Year of Hate was 1968 when they killed Martin Luther King for his plan of reparations that he had worked out with Dr. Claude Anderson. So he had a real viable plan, and he had changed and stood up as a man. And the other thing that we have to make sure that we control the narrative, that King did not die as a civil rights activist. King did not die as a civil rights activist. King did not die as a civil rights activist. No, he died as a human rights activist, and he said so, that we are now moving from an era of civil rights into human rights. The Civil Rights Bill was already passed. The Civil Rights Bill was already passed. How can he still be fighting for civil rights when he can use a toilet next to a white man? Why did he need to still fight for civil rights when he could pee in a urinal right next to a white man? Why did he need civil rights when now he can drink from the fountain right next to the white man? It had moved to a human rights issue, and that's why the Black Six, that's why Philip Randolph and these guys told him that he was Martin and not Malcolm, because now he was talking, you don't mess with white people money. That's what they were saying. Martin, you don't mess with the money. Martin, you don't mess with the white man's money. I mean, we did what we did, and they gave us money. They gave us over $250,000, Martin. They gave us over $250,000, Martin. That's never been heard of black people getting that kind of money, Martin. But Martin says, you know, I know you're my friends, but I can't do that sin. I got to roll with the Big G and the JC. I got to roll Big G and JC because I'm like Moses. I need to get to that mountaintop. And that's happened in 1968. But did you know in 1966 to 68, he was banned from speaking at all the black churches. All the black churches banned Martin Luther King Jr. from speaking in their churches, except on Livernois Avenue, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Reverend Clegg was the only one who would send an open invitation. Otherwise, he had to just preach at Ebenezer. And when they removed the ban on Martin from Memphis, Tennessee, from Memphis so that he could preach, that was only with those guys working as FBI informants. Go check who they were. They were working for the FBI and wind up removing the ban just to set him up so he could be assassinated. Remember, King was not loved in the North. King was hated in Chicago up North. Yeah. King came to Cicero, and the black preachers said, hell no. King came to Cicero in Chicago, and the black preachers said, hell no. Because in 1705, diversity came alive. And diversity was to make sure that any monies that was a correct, the mistreatment and unfulfilled promise of the Emancipation Proclamation, unfulfilled promise of the 40 acres and a mule, that any resources would come in the white woman was to be included, even though in most states she was 100% co-owner with the white man. And what people want crocodile tears and some sympathy about in terms of the white woman and the white woman, and they need the right to vote. Not all the states had that policy. Some white women were voting long before black women. Let's hear that now, because some of y'all sisters want to lock in arms and, like, we got the same problem. The woman's rights was not the same problem. The woman's right was saying that the white woman was only home so that she could be at home and home alone until her husband came home so he can get busy with her. So I'm going to make it plain, he can have sex with her. She got tired of just being a sex object, just kept home while he did all this stuff, while he raped 10-year-old girls, while he raped teenagers, while he raped wives of black men. She saw all of that raping and sex going on, but she couldn't do nothing but just wait till he got home. And they fought to want to get a job and make some money on themselves, where the black woman had 2 and 3 jobs because the black man work was only seasonal. So, No, the woman's movement had not a damn thing to do with the black woman's plight. The black woman was trying to get back home because she was gone too long. She was busy working too many jobs, because if the fields were all snowed up, the black man had no work to do. But mama could go out there and mop some floors with her hands and knees. Mama can go up there and cook for this man or that man. Mama can go and clean house for Mrs. Ruthie and Miss Susie and Miss Daisy. The white woman was always in need of a black woman's assistance, but the black man was restricted. And remember, he was feared, and unless you were a Sambo, you could not live in the attic or the basement at the big house, which was a status symbol back then. Remember, we had to be clear that there was the house Negro and there was the field Negro. And that's the reality that we're dealing with today. And we have to deal with the fact that since the civil rights, human rights movement, that the FBI informants became the media leadership. You cannot let the media dictate who your friends are, who you should follow. Now, the person that was pro-black, who actually got beat up and arrested for black people, the only white person that I know did that, was Bernie Sanders. But those same black pastors turned against Bernie Sanders and put in Joe Biden, who said black women were a breeding ground, unmarried black women were a breeding ground for predators. Unmarried black women were a breeding ground for predators. That came out of Joe Biden's mouth. He had always been racist. He always said his children would never be in school with blacks, but yet the black pastors are your main Sambos who sold out the black race, and you put this man in who always had a record of hating us. He hasn't done a damn thing really for black people, except the black people who've been broken. Martin Luther King said, a man can't ride your back unless it's bent. A man cannot ride your back unless it's bent. Martin Luther King said that because once your back is bent, you're well-dressed. Once your back is bent, you're well-dressed. Once your back is bent, you no longer can be a man. You have to be an alphabet. Once your back is bent, you can't stand up as a man because you don't know if you are he or you are she. So Martin Luther King, if he was here today, he would be standing strong with the Bible in the book of Leviticus chapter 11. So what am I saying? That black people, white people couldn't stand Dr. King. Very few people loved Dr. King. They only started loving Dr. King after he was dead. Very few people loved Malcolm X. They started loving Malcolm X after he was dead. Very few people loved Jesus until after he was dead. So we need to get our minds right, and we need to get correct. So we have to understand that we are still dealing with the same issues post-slavery. I just met this weekend nations of African immigrants who came over here, but you can't even really call them immigrants because they were refugees that had to come and flee to America because otherwise they would have been shot, killed, and they were still on refugee camps that were created by the United States government and European governments in order to move them out. They used house Negroes, Sambos, Africans, to go into a different country and chase their people out so that the white people can set up mining facilities there to get out the coltan in the Congos so they can chase out Africans and try to take over the diamond mines, to take over the oil mines. That's what's going on. They're using black to kill black, and we have to push back. We got to push back and start speaking harsh truth. We got to start calling out and holding our people accountable. We are the only group of race that do not hold our people accountable. We need to call a spade a spade. If they're a Sambo house Negro, yes, we got to identify that. But the field Negro has to take back in charge. The field Negro was the Deacons of Defense. The field Negroes was the female head of the Black Panther. The field Negroes were the male head of the Black Panthers. See, many of you didn't know that the Black Panthers was guided by the male and the female head because they knew that if you cut off the head, the body's supposed to die. But if you killed the black man, they thought the organization would die, but the black women were just as sharp and just as smart. That's how we had to move forward. And when we do have meetings so that we can reconcile our differences, we don't need a camera there or a house Negro there or a Sambo there. Brothers need to sit down and work it out. Gang members are ones who had helped out doing these movements. Gang members were helped out with Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton went to the military force called the Hispanic gangs, the poor white gangs, the black gangs. That's why he had to be assassinated by the Sambo William O'Neill. What you have to understand that they will use them against us. That's why they use the decorated FBI informant, John Lewis. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Highly decorated John Lewis, FBI informant. Jesse Jackson, FBI informant. Ralph Abernathy, FBI informant. Mm-hmm. These are admitted FBI informants. Martin Day, FBI informant. Al Sharpton, all confess. Research them, look it, they all confess. You have these people around King who killed King. They set King up. Look at some of the work of Dick Gregory. We'll even show you the face of the man who was part of the plan to have King in the right place. Jesse Jackson, he didn't keep no hope alive. He was trying to keep dope alive, smoking that dope. Weed was called dope back then. Because he is the no-good sucker that moved Dr. King's room from the first floor up into the balcony to put him in position for the sniper. So we have to keep things real here. We got to show that if they're kidnapping our people, we have to do projects. We got to put a perimeter of defense up. We got to talk with gang members, thug members, like, hey, check this out. Did you know they're murdering our children? That they're kidnapping our little girls?
Yeah,
we need you to be our police. We need you to be the fence around this community so that no child is left behind and no child is killed. And so these gangsters, they're the people who don't have a fear of shooting a white man, Chinese man, Indian man, Pakistani man, because they're already shooting the black man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. You see, if you look at all the movies, they try to teach you never to kill or shoot back to the white man. Even the stupid film of Harriet Tubman, she had a chance to kill the slave guy who was so bad, but she threw her gun down and ran, but yet she'll kill a black man.
Mm.
Look at what they're doing, what they're trying to do to you. They're trying to program you. And what I'm saying is that they are trying to control the media. The second white man who family tried to look out for black people were the Kennedy family. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy. They now, if you even do Wikipedia or anything, they don't even want you to know that he's running for president because the fear is that if he get in office, black people will make progress, that he will go back to that 1968 stuff, 1964 stuff, and give and pay the due that's old black people. That's why they try to put him down. They called him an anti-vaxxer. No, the vaccines that are safe, he promote. The ones that cause damage, he went out and tried to sue those people. So what happened is we as black people, we have been partnering up with the devil and with Lucifer and Satan. We have to start saying, man, let me see your track record. Let me see your foots in the sand. And then we call these pastors out, and you know the Bible told you that the Antichrist will be in the church, that the Antichrist was here. And a lot of you are following the devil in disguise. You're following his beast. And you see it coming out now. Pastors sleeping with boys. Pastors' marriage sleeping with young girls. Those are demonic demons. You don't pray for the pastor. No, there's no such thing as saying praying for the pastor. There was never prayed for in the Bible. You were supposed to cast out demons. So when a pastor does wrong, that is a demonic demon in disguise or in a title of a pastor, and you're supposed to cast that demon out, not pray for him. That's some trickology by Lucifer and Satan, having sympathy for Lucifer and Satan. Well, we need to do forgiveness. Jesus was telling you to forgive one another because during the time of the Bible, it was pure segregation. The Romans were separated from the Hebrews, and the Hebrews were a combination of Ham and Shem. Black and brown. And you black and brown people couldn't get down. Y'all were always, one was trying to be better than the other, brown bag test, blue blood test. We were always, one was too dark, one was too light, all that crap. Christ said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but there were no Germans, there were no French, there was no Italian, there was no Portuguese during that time of Jesus. And the Romans were separate. So Christ says, love your neighbor. That means you're supposed to love that black man or that black woman. And you Negroes are not Christian until you can do that. You're not a follower until you can do that. You're not a believer until you can do that. You're not sanctified or filled with the Holy Spirit until you can love your black neighbor like you love yourself. You are a hypocrite, and you've been brainwashed and tricked to be a hypocrite. It's not your fault. Satan made a fool out of Eve. Satan made a fool out of Adam. So we have just been still taught to play the fool and not look at what the records show. The records show the Africans were shocked to know that right now that we are still three-fifths human beings in the Constitution of the United States. They can't murder us. They can only damage or destroy property. We have to go to the Civil Rights Bill in order to prosecute them for a human rights violation for taking our lives. Listen to the law. Listen to the law. They can't murder George Floyd. Mm-hmm. They can violate his civil rights by taking his life. Because he's not a human being. And now Britain and Europe and England are trying to become racist like America because they're trying to unite. Because what is thought is that if there are celestial aliens that are out there, that they may have been the Anunnakis that were black skin. And if the black skin come again, they Europeans are trying to unite. And how they have power is by using the word white. Because before, when they were European Americans, they called themselves Irish. They called themselves English. They called themselves New Zealand. They called themselves Australian. They called themselves French. And we need to start calling them European Americans because there's no such thing as white. You're not white. You don't match a white paper or any white. We need to call them out to divide them because they're unifying behind the banner of white, and they're using the United Nations to allow blacks in Africa to be homicide, genocide, murderized, and then so that the land could be taken to supply mineral resources to Europe and the United States. Don't you know that the Rothschilds are a $7 billion family? Rothschilds is a $7 billion family, and Rothschilds are the ones who run most of all the world. $7 billion, they pushed it where only a few people own the world and dictate. Don't you know that Nelson Mandela was told by the Rothschilds that he could not stay with his Winnie Mandela, and he was going to have to divorce her in order to stop the apartheid war? That he couldn't be with her because she was the one who kept making the world know of their injustice. And they felt that she was the one that was the one who caused the people to start killing the Sambos with the necklace, which was a tire laced with gasoline or kerosene. They would set it on fire, tie that person, put that neck around them. And once they lost all their informants, once they lost all their Sambos, once they lost all their house Negroes, apartheid fell, and Winnie Mandela was the main reason for apartheid falling because Nelson Mandela was locked in prison. So he could not be with the wife that spent her life fighting to get him a new life. He had to stay on the Rothschilds compound. He was a prisoner in South Africa on the millionaire compound where people could come and visit him, but he could not live in the community. And he had to live amongst the whites in order to compromise to end the war. And that's why he was telling you that the war wasn't over. And then what happened is the sellout Sambo's house Negroes is what come up made the parliament. And the only thing they got going on for them now, which is the true leader, is Julius Malema. Julius Malema is the only true leader and president for the South African country of South Africa. You need to know Patrice Lumumba, who the United States helped kill, that his descendant, who's also named Patrice Lumumba, is helping to put Africa back in the correct way. You need to know that it was Jomo Kenyatta who got Kenya right, and then the British took it back. You got to know that Julius Nyerere with Africa Unite, that he was telling us to come together because we're African at home or abroad. We're still African, being blessed by the Genesis chapter 2:7. Genesis 2:7 says that God took this black dirt in the Garden of Eden, breathed into it, and man became a black man and a black woman, and they became living souls. So you take the black dirt in the garden, that's what you're going to get. The Bible tells us that. Another way that tells us that we were kissed by the sun, like when the Queen of Sheba, that she was kissed by the sun. Being on the sun, that we have this melanin power that matches the celestial solar system out there, the blackness of the night. We have to get right and start loving our blackness from the night, that we have to be those loving ourselves and praising ourselves.
All right. All right, Doc. Hey, you told the story. Black History Month. Dr. Times is Black History Month. Hey, really, really appreciate you. I know Annette and all my other people who listen to this. We had Belinda Parker Brown was on with Dr. Norman. He was on, and he wanted to connect with you. He said he wanted to connect with you and listen about this video today. On that note, Dr. Norman, thank you. And look, next week, same time, same station. Everybody have a good day, and don't forget to get the vote in. I need that vote. All right.
Ain't no reason. What reason? Yeah? You need to go lay down, don't you? Lay down. Oh, the city of Benton Holland has tripped right now. We're in desperate. I have warned people. Nobody is going to be my family. You know, Tally. This is a Super Bowl of samples. And And when I say superimposed on Sambo, I mean exactly that. Ain't nobody, I'm telling you, going to beat my Sambo. My leather seat. The queen bee of all sandals in this whole country. My leather seat. The queen bee. And I mean that bee loosely, if you know what I mean. Ain't nobody, long as she's hitting the back, nobody is going to beat my Sambo. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. You are not going to beat my Sambo. My leather seat, number one. That's in the whole. She's even over Clarence Thomas. And that's saying something. What's that guy? Tim Scott. She's over there. We are going to spank Houston, Milwaukee, Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati, Ohio. We're going to tear them up. We had a great week. And don't forget, the mayor of Suffolk, Marcus Muhammad. See, that's important. The mayor of all Sambo in the whole country, even ahead of Clarence Thomas, Tim Scott, those Sambos, he's ahead of them. Make sure we can't have it no other way. We have to show these Sambos that we're willing to go beyond the call of duty. They're everywhere. Then I can't forget the scumbag of all Sambos, Dwayne. Scumbag. Straight up scumbag. Scumbag all his life. He hasn't just gotten to be a scumbag. He's been a scumbag all his life. You see? And that combination I have, a leather seat, the queen bee, the mayor of Sambo, Marcus Muhammad, and the scumbag of all Sambo, nobody you're going to be. You couldn't put a team together just by reading a bio. You would know that you couldn't put a team together better than this. And I'm excited. Because it takes everything to a whole different level. I was at the church this morning, and this young lady came up to me, and, you know, she knows quite a bit about this family, and she told me that she heard the show, she listened to the show, and that she heard me talking about Abasai Muhammad, and I told her, yes, I was. I said, I like Abasai. I like her. Always. She became a real woman when she went to City Hall and told people that this guy was a slime. But she said that. To do that. And we believed her. You see, that what she was saying, but she was trying to get that frustration out of her system. By saying, I believe, you know, because I'm going to tell you for myself, I've never seen him with his children. I have. You know. But that was a big move. That was a powerful. Then she came back just recently, and they said lie was written all over her face. She made the announcement that he was a good husband now, but with his. We know that's not true because he had a baby. But by young teenagers. I'm appealing to her to go to, I'm saying, go to the
go into these Arab stores,
you have an automobile, you should not be going there. If you don't have an automobile, I can't fault you. But if you got an automobile, you got no reason in this world to go into an A-Rab school. What an A-Rab do, he teach your children, he teach you, selling is a tax, you get, call it ghetto tax. And every black community, they don't let the A-Rabs in white communities. They only allow in black communities. You see, will not allow these A-Rabs in their community to allow these people into our community. My fight is that we must stop spending money with them, even gas money. Stop going to these A-Rabs. Stop dealing with them. Let's put them out of business. I know that's tough for some of you black folks. Because I know how, you know, just like, you know, y'all consider them A-Rabs, you're white, I guess. You know, y'all scared of them, too. I saw where an A-Rab was beating this black dude. About five of these A-Rabs got together were beating one black dude. And all the black people just stood around and did nothing. You had an opportunity to chase them A-Rabs completely out of our community. Completely out of our community. I will not spend a dime with them going A-Rabs. And you can't make, you know, man, oh man, what's next? Oh, it's just, then they sell you bad meat. And you got the nerve to buy it and you're dying like flies out there. That's unfortunate. Unfortunate. But it's reality. It's reality. But I'm going to bring in my first guest, Annette. I think it's important to give her some extra time because she definitely needs to talk about also the boycott of on Mondays. We know what we do. No fast foods. So let's move. Let me give you the lineup. Don't forget to call us. You vote by sending an email to be at 9342 at sbcglobal.net. So here's the figures. Ben Hopper, 7 votes, 6,822. We lead the pack. Then comes Houston, Don. 6,455. Followed by St. Louis, Missouri. 6,397. And Milwaukee, Tyree. 6,288. Columbus, Ohio. Dr. Harris. 6,175. Cincinnati, Ohio. Tommy Gunn, 6,144. That's where we at until Sunday. We'll get the report in on Saturday, and then we can determine it's getting to be too big. This same program will be broadcast Houston, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Columbus, Cincinnati, Ohio, Charleston, North Charleston, Oklahoma City, and I guess this Durham, North Carolina. So what we stand today is spreading all over the country. And we want to make sure that people understand how important it is. We have to, at all costs, these symbols are ruining our children. We were in a position with a high school and a Fair Plains Baller went out, and they voted no, not to replace Trayvon Bourne, Deshauna Robinson, Renata Triplett. These are sambo. They sambo about our children. They won't fight for our children. They won't stand up for our children. And the parents didn't say a mumbling word. Not one single parent stood up and said, "Bitch, not one. Not one." And so my children can have heat. You love your children. How you love your children, you allow your children to be, wearing gloves and wearing overcoats and boots to school, and you go around here talking about you love your children. How can you love your children if you allow them to freeze in the classroom? How? To me, how? Hey, they're around here bragging about it. They know that these are not the smartest people in the whole wide world living in Benton Harbor. You see, wisdom, knowledge, understanding has been chasing the residents of Benton Harbor. They have not been allowed to catch it. Benton Harbor residents run too fast for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. They just haven't been able to catch it. And they never will. You know, they never will. They just don't get it. You know. And my thing is the ARAB and the school system. Something is going to have to give. Something is going to have to give about this. Anytime you allow your child to sit up in a classroom with his coat, gloves, boots, hat, earmuffs on, then you the problem. You the problem, the mama, the daddy. You are the problem. With as much tenderness as I can. So we are going to have to correct that one way or the other. I know that you're not going to vote these people out. They're locked into the system now. You know, they locked in. You know, Tiffany Moore, these other people, Tyler over at the county, they're all working together against black people. You see? They're all working together against black people. And they're going to continue to work against black. I was watching this movie. I'm saying this real quick, then I'm bringing my girl. I was watching this movie, The Color of Courage, and it brought tears to my eyes. Actually brought tears to my eyes. This black family had moved into this white community, and this white community went to court to try to get them evicted from their own house that they picked. Them evicted. To me, it was like a love story, you know. It was so tender how this white couple and black couple operate. The husband working with the enemy. I've got to bring in my guest. So let me do this. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Nick.
Annette, talk to me. I'm sure the guys on the stand. The other guy, he ain't bad. The one that sits there and listens, oh man, you don't need it. But the other one, no.
She didn't want him.